Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Tuesday edition. No, it's not. It's Wednesday. I'm losing track of days already. Edition. The Packers Eagles. Big day Wednesday at Lambeau Field. I don't know how I could get that wrong. Edition. I have a nepotism question for old T. I need his help.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to need his help on this. Edition. And the Brian Bulaga edition. The Steve the Homer True edition, the Hunter Vaughn, Gerald Ford trivia edition, and everything else you love about Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com. And the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. The aforementioned Hunter Vaughn is in as our cousin sub of the day for Jesse. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Good morning, Hunter. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Marquette had a great win last night against a not good Georgetown team, but Chase Ross was awesome.
Georgetown stink?
They're getting better.
Georgetown stink?
Yeah, they're getting better, but they're still not
Pat
good.
Ewing's not the coach there anymore, right?
No, it's Cooley. He was the Providence head coach.
Okay.
Chris Cooley, the former tight end for the Washington football
good
team?
One.
No, that'd be cool, though.
I don't know if he's qualified. And from his undisclosed location, he's the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What's the nepotism's one of my favorite things, so let me hear
it. It is. So, and you were the first I had warm, fuzzy feelings, and then I thought, oh, God, wait till I tell Tausch this. So last night, for those that don't know, we have Maddie, who is a freshman this year, and we have Sydney, who will be a freshman next year. And we had to go to the orientation for freshman registration last night. Did it last year with Maddie, so I'm a savvy veteran now. I know how it works, but I think it's important to go anyway. So we went and we learned how to register for classes again, and they're talking about how you need to think about your long-term plans and what you want to do. And Sydney's listening intently, and she turns to me and says, Dad, I want to be a sports writer. And Oregon has a sports journalism program. Here's the link. So she's clearly given this some thought. And I was like, oh, my heart melted. And then I thought, oh, God, here we go. Noah Eagle Jr. Because you give a lot of grief to those who follow in their parents' footsteps. And I thought, I'd have never once pushed her to do this or want to do this. She's around it. She likes sports. She's a good athlete, certainly a better athlete than I was. So now, how am I supposed to view this, given the view that we have of Noah Eagle on the program, given the fact that she arrived at this career idea on her own? Have we been a little bit harsh on poor Noah, or is Sydney just another example of media nepotism? I should, you know, if I get into coaching, she'll follow me into that too, and she'll get all kinds of great opportunities she doesn't deserve. How am I supposed to view this, oh, wise nepotism viewer?
Yeah, don't you can't help her. You have to just let her go. Well, of course, I've said this for years. I understand why. And, you know, it started with Mike Golic Jr. I thought it was crazy that he didn't, like, have to go and work at a small station in ESPN, you know, an ESPN local station before, hey, here's a national job with your dad. And I like Mike Golic Sr. a lot. He has been somebody that I've had a lot of great conversations with. Mm-hmm. We're always going to do what's best for our kids. Always. And if that means you're going to be called nepotism dude, do you think you care if it gives your kid a chance? So I've always liked to point it out. And if your kid's no good, and I'm not going to put anybody in there. No, Eagle's been awesome, by the way. He is
right.
Very good at his job.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Now, should he have had to have go through the same process? Hey, life ain't fair, people. We all know that. Life ain't fair. Okay? It's just not. You could be born. Like, it's just not. So we could sit here and, oh, that's not fair. Yeah, deal with it. That's life. You could try to help and do as much stuff as you can to make things fair. But when it's your own kid, you're going to do what's best for your kid. So I don't have a problem with you doing it. And in the same respect, when she's writing for the Oregonian, if that's still a thing, and if AI hasn't taken that over, which I think it will.
It's kind of a tough field to choose to go into these days.
Cool for her. And good that you were able to help, because that is part of being a parent. Your job is to try and help give your kid the best opportunity to go out and have a great, meaningful, successful life. So I can sit here and be all judgerson, but I would do the same thing. And I think everybody as a parent would. And if that's not the case, hey, kudos to you as a parent. But I'm not going to. Now, there are examples where people have gotten these opportunities and have fallen on their face and not been very good.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you have to be able to do the job. So there are guys and gals that have been put in positions that they didn't have to go through the process. And typically, maybe your talent and your upbringing and the environment you grew up in gives you that same baseline that maybe going to a smaller paper or station or whatever role in life you have. The people that I've seen that have had the most success in this, whether it's, you know, somebody running a construction company or something else, is you give those opportunities, but you make sure you don't bring them right to the top. They go through the same processes with the understanding that they want to end up in the position of mommy or daddy, and you better be ready to take some heat, because everybody talks about that when you get it. Oh, little Chucky's out there. Oh, little Chucky. I wonder how Chucky got that job. Well, we all know how Chucky got that. Oh, Maddie, how did she get into the great school? Or how did she? Oh, because her dad's a big blanking deal back in Wisconsin. Which,
yeah, I don't know if that would work, actually. She's. So
do you not kind of want to tell her, I don't know.
I probably literally, my next sentence was, said that's really far away. So, again, we'll see. She has every opportunity to choose something else.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about going to Oregon. I'm talking about going into your line of work.
So, a couple of things on this discussion so we can get to the preview of Packers, Eagles, and talk about a variety of things, including Brandon McManus, who I don't think we've talked about enough, and yes, I wrote about him in today's Wisconsin State Journal, which I know Tausch read from start to finish.
Sunday article?
No, today is Wednesday, or Tuesday if you were listening to the Open. But, couple things. One, when I was coming up as a reporter, when I was in high school, I did a paper on sports journalism, and the sports editor of the Milwaukee Sentinel, Terry Galvin, told me, do something else. You don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And, of course, I ignored him because this was my dream since I was a fourth grader. Pipe Jim chiming in, by the way, on the private talk and text line. Hopefully her questions will be less wordy. Good. That's a good one. That's funny. I like that. And then I wrote in with longtime and highly decorated Milwaukee Sentinel and then later Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist Dale Hoffman to the Packers Steelers game in which Yancey Thigpen dropped the touchdown and he said Merry Christmas Green Bay, and he tried to talk me out of this. I love what I do. I love working with you every day. I love telling people stories. I'm glad I ignored their advice not to do this. So I can't do that to Sydney. I'm not going to tell her, don't do this. Go do something more important, even though there are more important things that someone as smart as her can do. Secondly, and to your point that you made earlier, I am who I am in large part because I covered high school sports and all the non-revenue UW sports that I still care about as we get into the NIL era. That's what makes you better at your job. So to your point about skipping steps, I don't want her to skip steps if she actually does this. I don't want that because that's what makes you good at it later. Now, Noah Eagle is obviously super talented, and the fact that he's able to do things on a national scale already, hey, God bless him. And if his name was Noah Tauscher, he wouldn't be getting those opportunities yet. But no, again, I just wanted to get the ruling from you before we move forward because, unfortunately, my second thought was
it'll be
Tausch.
100% nepotistic, but there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem. And anybody that has kids, you're going to do whatever you possibly can in your life to help your kids, period, thin end.
And as a parent, it's pretty cool when your kid wants to do what you do. Like, that's a pretty good feeling. You know, maybe Max plays in the NFL and then hosts a show with Sydney 30 years from now.
All right, I can almost assure you that's not going to happen.
The radio show part or the NFL part?
It depends. I'm not going to – again, I'm not going to tell. My kids look at things a little differently in that respect. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to be hosting a radio show with one of your kids. I could be wrong. You never know.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I'll never say never.
I think
it would
just
be
did.
Something.
I appreciate your positivity on this because apparently you're now looking into what your positivity score is. What is this? You sent this to us the other day. Is this another one of your Elon Musk deals? Is he judging your positivity? Is that what's happening here?
As I told you yesterday, AI is speeding up at the pace that we have no concept of. I've paid attention to this AI convention that's going on. I don't even know where it's going on, but it's for anybody
AI,
that's intrigued by
you.
This, it's crazy how fast everything's going. I told you there are numerous things, and you can sit and put your head in the sand and not okay, but it's coming and it's coming rapidly. So I just put in because. After Sunday's game and after Monday's show, you know, everybody's kind of coming at me a little bit, being a homer, and I'm being too positive about a team that, by the way, if you look at their season rankings, defensively and offensively,
yeah,
pretty good regular season.
No doubt.
This isn't some dog blank team that can't beat anybody. And I feel like I've been pretty fair. I've been optimistic, no doubt.
Uh-huh.
But I've been pretty fair and very critical after the Minnesota game. Not as much Sunday just because I thought it was bleh. I kind of sensed what was happening, and the fact that this wasn't an all-in type of deal was kind of what was leading me to feel the way that I felt. So I just plugged in Grok. Mark Tauscher, Will Dean Tausch. I wanted to get how I covered the Green Bay Packers. And Hunter, I don't know if you have that, but I sent that little clip over to you, what AI came back with. And in essence, they said, I do a pretty good job, but I do skew a little bit positively. Do we have that or not?
I don't have that.
I have it.
Okay.
I have it.
All right.
I have it. I'm not quite. It was you sent this Sunday morning, so this was before your positivity about the Bears game. So you basically lived up to Grok's assessment of you. I read now from, I'm telling you, you did. I read now from Grok. Mark, which again, Grok doesn't know you very well, clearly. Still got a few bugs to work out in the AI realm. Your positivity score, based on your recent X posts, shows a balanced mix of optimism and realism.
Yes.
You've expressed appreciation and agreement in several posts, but also highlighted challenges and critical views, suggesting a nuanced perspective on life and sports.
Yeah.
This would place your positivity score around the middle to slightly positive range.
That's where I want to live. I don't want to be Debbie Doomsday or Packer fan. This season sucks, and I just realize how difficult it is. I've lived through some seasons where we didn't make the playoffs, both as a player and as an analyst, and it's not fun. It's not fun at all. And I think where we have become as Packer fans, I don't know the right way I want to say this, we've become a little bit jaded. We've become a little bit jaded. It ain't
entitled,
easy to be 11 and it ain't easy to be 12 and 5, 11 and 6, making playoffs, going through transitions at quarterback, going with the youngest roster. And it's not as if we were just garbanzo. Just we had a bad loss. Okay. Now, does that mean we're going to go beat Philadelphia on Sunday? No, it doesn't. But this season, it's still very enjoyable, and we've gotten a lot of really good entertainment, and this is a good football team. I don't know if it's a championship-level team. I would say no as we sit here today. But I've also seen where we've had championship-level teams and we've the best team in the league and haven't gotten it done. So that's the balance that I've been fighting, and I wanted to make sure Grok kind of felt the same way. I'd love for you to plug that into your Grok.
I will do that. I will do that. All right, couple things because I want to try and stay somewhat on time to get to Brian Bulaga on time. One, how do you balance the way you have viewed this season? It is hard to go 12 and 5. The Packers weren't good enough to do it. They went 11 and 6. How do you view this season and how you're looking at it to say that very heated argument we had in the early days of our program when the Packers ran the table to reach the NFC Championship game, Aaron Rodgers with an unforgettable throw to Jared Cook, followed by Mason Crosby kicking game-winning field goals in Dallas twice, because they called timeout as he was kicking the first one, and then having to play in an NFC Championship game against the number one seed with Gooch playing guard and Ladarius Gunter covering Julio Jones, and then us arguing because there were people on the panel who didn't think it was a successful season. So how do you balance your view of that year with the way you're looking at this year? Because that would seem to be incongruous to me.
Well, I looked at Aaron Rodgers' prime as every year we didn't get to a Super Bowl as disappointing. It's as simple as that. I did not look at that from this perspective with Jordan Love yet. I don't have him there. That's not where I'm at. I think that this is a good team that will continue to get better. I don't think we're at the point where this is Super Bowl or bust yet.
I agree. Okay.
I hope we get there, but I thought Detroit was going to be a handful this year. They have been. Philadelphia, I give them credit with Nick Sirianni and hiring the new offensive and defensive coordinator. They made a step up. I felt like San Fran was dipped. They did. And here we sit where Green Bay, I thought they'd be in better position than the seventh slot. I thought they'd be in the five or six. And I would feel a lot better if we played Tampa or the Rams than I would if we had to go to Philly. That's the disappointing part about the season for me, the way we finished it. But that's how I look at it. And I'm not apologizing to anybody. I'm not going to say this is where I think this team is right where – about right where they should be. I don't think they should have lost to Minnesota twice. That's the, you know, not being able to find a way to win close games has been the disappointing part. But the defense is markedly better than what it's been. And a lot of young talent and a lot of cap space to get better quickly at key spots. I would think the Gutenator, with the success he had in picking up Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs, is going to look at this long and hard and say, we're either going to go get a stud end edge or a stud corner to continue to help make this defense get better and better.
And he's got the money to do it. So
look,
you're preaching to the choir because I did not expect them to go to the Super Bowl this year. I picked them to go 12-5.
Don't you let this?
And I said they're a year away.
Don't you let this team beat Philly? Because if they beat Philly, I'm going to probably be on here Monday saying, "I'm not saying," but I love the matchup with Detroit again. I do. I love the matchup.
I know you
do. If we get there.
Yeah. I agree. So again, we'll start with them on Sunday in Philadelphia. So here's the question that I want for the Carb List Talk and Text Line. List is more. Because we're going to have Brian coming up, I want you to answer this. On a scale of 1 to 100, where are you in your positivity? Well, when I think of scores, I think like on a 100 scale, right? We can do from 1 to 158.3 if we want to use the quarterback rating scale, but 1 to 100... Where are you on your positivity about the Packers winning on Sunday? Not about the season. Whenever the season ends, whether it's on February 9th in the Super Bowl or it's Sunday, after that we could talk about how positively you view the season. But right now, going into Philly, where from 1 to 100 are you on your positivity that you think they can win? That's our question for the Talk and Text Line, the Carb List Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776. Tausch, I know you're 100 on Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, but where would you say you are on them winning in Philadelphia?
Well, I could tell you this. With Pella Windows and Doors, I'm at 100. Happy New Year! Means a lot of rough days ahead. What? Yeah, I'm reiterating what you just said.
Oh, okay.
Here.
And not answering
Here.
The
Why
question.
Why don't you go ahead? Hey, you want this? You want
if you
want
to email it to me, I'll be happy to do it.
Happy New Year means a lot of rough days ahead for those who suffer from seasonal affective disorder. Plenty of great frigid days. Yeah, it's been a little gloomy around. I just want to be snuggly and cuddly and warm at your crib. Well, Pella can make your home as beautiful on the outside as it is comfortable on the inside. Celebrate the new year with zero interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. But hurry up. You only have until January 31st, so visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply.
You didn't answer the question.
You just did.
No. Where is Tausch on his positivity about the Packers beating the Eagles on Sunday? He didn't answer it just now. He will answer it, as Grok calls him, Mark. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. On Monday, not a sound. On Wednesday,
might get loud. On Friday, but on Saturday, we paint the town. My sense of time or two. Weeks feel like days. Medicaid in the afternoon. And I just want to know, have you lost your footing too? I just pray that I'm not losing you. Catch me floating circles in my fishbowl. Keep things. I think I'm about a 43. From a scale, on a scale of 1 to 100 of the Packers winning in Philly on Sunday, I'm a 43. Because I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility at all. And I think this is really instructive, actually. Because it's easy to say, I don't expect them to win. But how dubious are you on it? I'm not like at a 10. Like, Jalen Hurts is going to be rusty. Their defense has played well. By and large.
Or he's going to be incredibly fresh and sharp.
Yeah.
Go one of two ways.
But you would agree that generally speaking, when you don't play for as long as he hasn't played,
yeah,
like this isn't, like, right? So 43, I think, is a little optimistic compared to other people.
So if you're over 50, does that mean you think they're going to win?
You think it's more likely they'll win than they'll lose? Yeah, right?
So you're pretty close. Okay.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a close game. I think Saquon Barkley is going to beat him, But I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a really good game. And then when they lose 40-10, I'll have to come on and say, well, I guess I was wrong. But I if they can handle, if they can prevent big plays in the passing game, I think they can make it really interesting. That's where I stand. I don't expect them to win. I do expect them to be competitive. So where are you?
I think we need to look at who wins the battle of the running backs. You know, always we look at this and say, well, the quarterback play is going to be the difference. And I'll lean on that almost every time. I think Philly has built their team, and now especially with Jalen being out for a while, they've built it around Saquon, that run game in the O-line, and their defense has been playing really good football.
That they have, yeah.
Green Bay's offense has not. Sans Josh Jacobs. So if Josh Jacobs isn't really good on Sunday, I don't think they're going to find a way to win. He needs to be better than Saquon Barkley on Sunday.
Still waiting for your number.
What number?
The number we've been talking about, Tausch.
Yeah, I don't like the 1 to 100. I like 1 to 10. Like, that's how I like looking at it.
All right. 1 to 10.
I think it's a coin toss. That's where I'm at.
So, just to be clear, you couldn't go 50. You had to go. I don't want to do it. It's got to do 1 to 10.
No, I don't like go. Like, 1 to 100, like, what are we doing? Like, 1 to 10 is easier. Simpler.
But your score was literally. But Tausch, your score was literally just a scale of 1 to 100 if you add a zero on the end. Like, it wasn't
a
like
multiplier,
you said,
some might say.
Yeah, like, you literally did nothing to, like, change where you would be on a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 100.
Right, you'd be at 50.
No, I just did.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
It's smaller.
You didn't. All right. I appreciate the days where you choose to be difficult. One of the things that's great about
I'm not choosing to be difficult. I think it's a coin flip.
Right, but
no,
you could have said 50. You know, if you're going to say it's a coin flip, some might say that a dollar is 100 pennies. You could have gone, you know, 50 would be a 50-cent piece, so you could have been right in the middle. Coin flip, you flip the 50-cent piece, sure, you know, that's what I'm saying. Half dollar, some might say. All I know is that your dollar goes farther, and no one is difficult when you go to Quick Trip. It's certainly easy because there's so many locations during your drives.
Indeed. Life's busy. I mean, and Quick Trip, we get it. Whether you're craving fresh coffee, tasty bakery treat, quick grab-and-go meal or snack, Quick Trip is your go-to. Variety, quality, fast service. Quick Trip's team is all about making your day easier and better. Clean restrooms, fresh groceries, and everything in between. Quick Trip's got you covered. Plus ATMs, free air for your tires. And those aren't the only perks. Bananas, jumbo onions, and guess what? Potatoes, they are back, all just 29 cents a pound. Plus, you get breakfast sausage links, $2.49 for 12 ounce. Nature's Touch shredded cheese, 2 for $4. Snack pies, 5 for $5. It's always fun. Go take a look at all the variety of different snack pies. You can get winter days. You got soup bags on special, $6.99 every Tuesday, or the Quickery Cheese Mountain Pizza on special. That'll be tomorrow and Friday. $6.99 for thin crust, $9.99 for specialty crust. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of all the Quick Trip has to offer. Order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip, we will see you next time.
Making your life easier and better. Quick Trip and Mark Tauscher, they both do the same thing for me. Brian Bulaga always makes the show better, and he'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers playoff push.
The Green Bay Packers are still struggling to have an identity.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
Internally, I think Matt LaFleur is still trying to chase who he is going to be and what type of way he wants to coach.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Have some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know.
That song is music to my ears. You know what that means? It means it's Brian Bulaga time on Wilde and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are great. I would appreciate a smidge more cooperation from you on our concepts today than I'm getting from other people. So I begin with this.
Jesse. Brian, it's Jesse that's been
It's not Jesse. He's not even here today. So the Packers play the Eagles on Sunday. Tausch shared with us earlier in the week his X positivity score. Elon broke down with Gronk his positivity. He's, you know, he's a bit of a homer. I don't know if you've heard. And then when I asked him on a scale of 1 to 100 what his positivity is about the Packers beating the Eagles on Sunday, he not so politely refused to use the 1 to 100 scale. What are we doing here? And I quote. So he used the 1 to 10 scale and said he's a 5. Which, I'm no mathematician, but that would seem to be a 50 if you did 1 to 100. So, I ask you, oh wise one, where is your positivity on a scale of 1 to 100 that the Packers will beat the Eagles on Sunday?
Yeah, 1 to 100, I would be... Is this assuming Hurts plays? Right? Is this assuming
Hurts is going to play? I think we expect him to play. Yes.
He's okay. So this is assuming Hurts plays. I'm probably at 50 to 55% is where I'm at. That Green Bay wins. It's because I never like to be at under 50% that a team could win. Like I'm not comfortable. Saying that they have an under 50% chance of winning because I
was
think
at 43.
I think the team can play well enough to win. So 43. I mean, I get you're not too far off. I mean, 43 is not terrible. But I just think they have enough that they can go and win. I understand that they haven't. In these, you know, big games against good NFC teams, finish the deal at the end of the games. I understand that, but that doesn't mean they can't in this game. But it's going to take a certain effort that we haven't seen yet, and that's why I'm not at like 65 or 70%, and I'm just above 50 or at 50 because it needs to be shown, and it's going to be a tall task against Philly.
Tausch, can we get you up to 55 on a scale of 1 to 100?
I think at this point where Green Bay's at, it's a coin toss. And Green Bay needs to finish games better. And, Brian, what are the big things that you see that don't give you more confidence?
Well, I mean, I think in these bigger games, so to speak, again, you know, you're looking at against these higher echelon teams is how they start, right? Like you get into these games and you dig yourself a hole right off the get in the first quarter, and it's hard to recover. Like that's, I mean, how you start these first quarters of these games is kind of a big deal. And you look at how they've done that through against Detroit in the first two and Minnesota. I mean, you turn the ball over, you go three and out, or you in Minnesota, you know, the first game you're down 28-7 at half or whatever it was. Like, you're not recovering from that. That's just really hard to come back from. And even Minnesota too, right? In Minnesota, they were down whatever it was. Like, it's hard to come back from those things. And first drive against Minnesota with the turnover. Like, you got momentum going, then you give it away, and it's hard to get that thing back when you're on the road. So, like, I look at what happens in that first quarter of the game. If they're able to control Philly in the first quarter of the game and they can put touchdowns on the board to start, like, that's a big step forward for them because they haven't been able to do it. And, like, if we see that sign early in the game, like, that could be a change that we, you know, haven't seen from them. And that's something. And the end of the game, like, we could all talk about, you know, the defense hasn't been able to stop or this or that. But, like, a lot of those questions can get answered if they take care of business at the beginning of the game, right? Like, you look at things differently if you score that extra 10 points at the start of the game and how the game looks at the end. So, like, we could say what if or that, but, like, you know, you don't get yourself in those positions in the fourth quarter if you do what you need to do at the beginning. So I want to see what happens within the first 30, you know, not 30 minutes, but first 15 minutes of the game. I want to see how they come out. And if that looks positive, then yeah, I'll feel a lot better about their chances as that game rolls on.
Brian, would you take the ball again? LaFleur has been, he takes that pill now. He doesn't defer. Would you just say, for me, this game, your defense is playing better than your offense is right now, in my opinion. Jalen Hurts is rusty. I think I would much prefer putting them out there first, trying to get a stop, and then building it that way, kind of going back to the old school analytics of trying to get that middle part of the game, that middle eight, where you can go get it. I think that's a part of this, too, because when you take the ball, you're putting a lot of pressure on your offense. Saying, all right, we got to set the tone for the game. And when you don't, it reverberates through, especially, you know, early in football games.
Yep. If I'm him and you win that coin toss, I'm setting the defense out there first. You're right. Hurts, regardless of, you know, how big of a leader he is and how talented he is and what he does for their football team. I mean, he hasn't played in a while, right? And he's been in the protocol, and I don't know what he's been doing, if he's been at practice like Dobbs was when he was a full participant. I don't know what he's been doing, right? I guess it doesn't matter, but he hasn't been playing games, right? I mean, he played, what, a series or two against Washington, and he hasn't been back since. So you're going to want him to be out there and test him. Let's see what he can do. Let's see how he's playing. And what you get out of that, too, is you get to see right away when Philly walks out in the field, if they get the ball right away, what they're going to try to do to you right away, right? When you take the ball on offense first, right? And I always thought this way, too, when we were with McCarthy or even with LaFleur, you take the ball first and say you even go down and score, right? And you show that other coach what type of offensive game you want to play, you allow them to kind of counter and how they're going to play you, right? Like you allow them to kind of, all right, so they're going to throw the ball up and down the field, or, oh, they're going to run it and they're going to throw, so we want to try to counter it with this way. You're going to allow, Philly's going to show you what they're going to want to do. We can assume they're going to try to ground and pound and run it with Saquon, which they probably will, but you're going to get Philly to show you what they want to do. And LaFleur and this defense, that's what you want to see. Are you just going to try to give Saquon the ball 30 times and kind of leave Hurts out of this thing? Okay, let's see it. If that's the game we're going to do, let's see it. Let's see it play out. And that's it. Let's get a stop. Let's get in the field. Let's get a stop. Let's get the ball back. Let's quiet down the link. Let's get this thing quiet, just like they did in Seattle. Like, you got to have that approach. Mm-hmm. Like you did in Seattle, quiet the building down and get the guys settled into the game so that, you know, things can go a little bit smoother, because it's going to be rowdy there. It is going to be rowdy. I can assure you that.
And what Mike McCarthy did was he would pick his spots of when he would do that, right? If we're comparing their approaches. And Matt LaFleur has done it extensively this season. And the one that didn't make any sense to me the most was Sunday, when you're playing an offense that is scuffling, that has a rookie quarterback. Give them the ball, get them three and out. Because look, if you look at what they did offensively, the Bears had a 7-3 lead and had -4 net yards of offense. So you probably would have gotten them three and out if you'd have kicked it away. So to your point, when you guys went into Seattle and won and he took the ball, or the, I can't remember which game it was, where he wanted to steal a possession and he did the surprise onside kick, which you obviously can't do anymore. And it worked, right? Those were things that not only were calculated because you were thinking about the type of game you were in, they also, when they worked, when you went down and scored, or when you got the ball on the onside kick, I mean, the energy that created on your sideline was through the roof. And it quieted the other sideline and the fans that were there, to your point. So I agree with you. I'm very curious to see if he ends up agreeing with you. Are you due for another visit to practice? Like, maybe give a pep talk to the offensive line, maybe, you know, elbow him in the ribs a little bit and say, hey, man, I'm telling you, I played in Philly. Kick it away. Get that defense out there. Get a stop.
Yeah, no, I didn't get the call to come back to Green Bay for practice this week. I didn't get the invite.
It's saving okay. You for the NFC Championship game weekend. I'm
assuming. I'm with them in spirit. It's listen. We could talk about what they should do to start the game. I just unfortunately think that whether or not he takes the ball, if they win the coin toss, whatever, like it's. You know, it's going to come down to.
It's not going to win the game.
Like,
I get it.
Yeah. Like, there's going to be pivotal moments throughout the game, as there always is in playoff games. Like, there's always decisive moments within a playoff game because normally, you know, good teams, you know, obviously there's always certain playoff games that end up getting out of hand. You know, there's always certain teams that don't belong and games get out of hand, kind of like the way we saw Green Bay and Dallas last year. Those games happen. But normally when you get into these types of games, they're good teams against good teams, and there's pivotal moments throughout games that decide these things. And I kind of see this game going that way with Green Bay and Philly. I think Green Bay's a good team. I really do. And they've played good teams really well, right? Like, I mean, I understand the way the first Minnesota game went, but they clawed their way back. They fought their way back into that game, regardless of what you say, how Minnesota played it, right? Like, Minnesota didn't want them to get back into the game. They didn't want to make it a one-score game. Like, they didn't look for that. But Green Bay fought their way back into it, and that's the way all the Detroit, I mean, maybe not the first Detroit game, but the other Detroit game, the other Minnesota game, they were tight ball games. So, like, I expect Green Bay to play it very similarly in this Philly game. So, like, it's going to come down to decisive moments, and can Green Bay win those decisive moments? And they haven't been able to do it up to this point, right, against, you know, the Detroits and the Phillies and the Minnesotas. Can they do it this weekend? And that's going to be the deciding factor. And who's going to step up and do it now that, you know, Watson's not there? You don't have that threat. Who's going to be the guy? And that will be the thing that everyone's intrigued to see.
All right, Brian, I have some other questions for you, including one that I want to bounce off of you before I ask Matt LaFleur later today. We will get to that coming up, plus a little tackle talk and where this offensive line is. Tausch mentioned it earlier. This is a defense that is playing extremely well right now for the Philadelphia Eagles. How is the offensive line going to handle that? And then a little bit of our discussion from earlier in the week about regression or not as much progression as you expected from quarterback Jordan Love. We'll ask Brian about that as well. That's all still ahead. Brian Bulaga on Wildy and Tausch.
This is Madison's new home of Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Churio, a high fly ball. Back! Track! Bye-bye baseball!
100.5 ESPN, your new home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga on Wildy and Tausch. And Brian, because you certainly are far more knowledgeable than me on a number of things, and because we spend time on tackle talk every week, I want you to put on your offensive lineman cap, but also the film guru that you are, and help me with this, because this question came in during the show yesterday from Ryan on Twitter, who I'm sure he has a very high positivity score. But it was so good that I want to ask Matt LaFleur it. And I want you to help me formulate how to ask him today. The question was, do you think Jordan Love's struggles are in part due to Matt LaFleur not being able, and I'm definitely not going to phrase it quite this way, to successfully mesh the new-ish running game for Josh Jacobs with the passing game and with the play-action game? Love seems disjointed since Jacobs started seeing success. And I'm the reason why I wanted to ask you is because, and I've already used this without giving you credit, you know, talking about how there's more duo blocking than the traditional zone scheme that they were running early in the Matt LaFleur era, they've changed up their running game to accommodate Josh Jacobs. How has that affected the play-action game, because Tausch has pointed out multiple times that they seem to be in shotgun or pistol a lot more than under center, and that also affects the play-action game. So from your perspective, how do you view that, and is that a valid question to ask the head coach slash offensive play caller?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were to ask him a question, I think it would be, at least if I were to ask him something and how it kind of, how the play action that he was doing, I would say prior to Jacobs would be from the more zone style or zone scheme that, you know, not as, and it's hard to reference because he's going to, I know what he's going to say. He's going to say that we still do those concepts. He's going to say we still do those concepts. So to say that we don't, you know, run those, that scheme is that's not true. So I kind of already know how he's going to go about it. So there's no point to ask that question, because if I were to ask him that question personally, that's what he would tell me. So like, I already know that.
I kind of like how you're thinking like a reporter though. This is what I had to do. All right. So if I ask it this way, this is what I'm going to get. So I need to find another way to ask it to try and get something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I know, cause like, because I'm also thinking about it from his standpoint as well, because there's a way to look at it from how you're coming about it and how I would ask it too, because it's like there is a change in the run game, right? They have changed the run game to accommodate Jacobs, and there is no doubt about it. I mean, and you said what Tausch said, they're out of the gun a little bit more, they're out of the pistol a little bit more, because that accommodates a duo style, you know, run game, and it gives the back a little more view of the whole picture, and it clears up some things and it makes it easier for him. With that though, it does muddy the water for play action, because it does give the linebackers and it gives the safeties a lot easier view of being able to identify run to pass. Where if he's under center and he's turning around, running more of a zone style, or how we used to run it, or how it originally started with LaFleur, wide outside zone stretch, Aaron or Jordan last year, really running to stretch that ball out to Aaron Jones and getting the entire defense to flow, pulling the ball and then throwing it and getting the entire picture to shift. It's changed. And that's kind of what you're seeing now. I mean, you're not seeing Jordan Love break the pocket too much anymore and boot out and seeing the launch point change as much as it did in the past, right? And that's kind of something that I've seen that's changed a little bit more, which I don't know if it's making Jordan Love disjointed, but it certainly has been something that, at least that I think, has been taken away or hasn't been used as much this season, because, and it's not like it's a negative because you have Jacobs, right? Like, it's not like, oh man, like you got Jacobs, that's a workhorse back that runs for all these yards and he's really good at this style of running, and now you can't run this type of play action because he's not a, you know, an Aaron Jones type back that just runs outside zone all the time. But it's just, it's a part of the original scheme that they don't get to as much anymore, right? And when you get something really good, there's normally something that gets taken away or you don't utilize as much, right? Because if you start just doing crazy wide zone action, defenses aren't buying it because it's not on tape. You haven't run it. So they're not going to fall for it, and they're not going to even think you're doing that. And you can't sell something that's not there. And that was always kind of a complaint with when Mike was coaching and when we were up front, he was asking us to run play action for runs or sell runs that we didn't even have in the game plan for that week. And it was like, well, hey, you want us to block power or do play action power when power is not even up this week. And you know, it was tough to block when we hadn't even run a power play. So like, and that's kind of where, you know, there may be some, you know, where that question's coming from. And that's what, the whole premise of this offense, and LaFleur said it from day one, is making, you know, the run look like the pass and right, mirroring everything. And so, and that's what, you know, and it's, listen, duo play action pass It is effective. Like, it does work. But with that, it is a lot easier for the safeties and linebackers to see it. It's very effective for the guys up front to block it, right, to block the front four. But behind that, listen, man, like, those guys behind the front four can read that very easy because they're not flying downhill like they normally do when you're selling outside zone. Like, it's just the way it goes. So because linebackers and safeties and duo have to be a little bit more patient by nature because they can't be shooting gaps because that's what linemen want you to do. They want you to jump a gap in duo because that cuts you out of a block, right? Like, and then Jacobs can make you right. And so they have to be more patient, and that's not good for play action. You want these guys to be antsy and flying downhill in play action. So, like, it's part of the offense that, unfortunately, you give and take with these types of things. So I don't know how you can phrase it. It's a tough question because I know he's going to say, like, we still utilize that concept and we still do that, which, yeah, I mean, I think they probably do it, but definitely not as much as it's been utilized in the past. And that's, I'm sure if you go back and look at it, I guarantee you it is not, the numbers are not as much as it was from last year, and definitely probably not as much as it was from when Aaron was there. I can definitely guarantee that.
Brian, here's the conundrum as I see it, and tell me if I'm crazy. Josh Jacobs, a great running back. The running game is better this year than it was last year. I think he has been, you know, Aaron Jones, the outside zone, and just a different style, more duo. But a lot of the criticism that has been levied at this passing game and at Matt LaFleur is he was so good at scheming guys open. How many times did you hear, oh, he's such a great schemer? Well, he's scheming guys open on first and second down. It wasn't a third down deal. Third down is what it is, right? Third and six, you're going to get certain coverages, certain blitzes. The scheming comes from first and second down. And it comes from getting linebackers and safeties to buy some of that play action pass. That's where you get guys running wide open, not when you're dropping back and running Fox 2 XY hook. You're doing it when you're running keeps and you're running boots, and you do that when you're under center and you are running to stretch that football and you're getting that married up. And now you're doing so much duo and you're doing so much stuff that if you go and try to replicate that, you're right. Vic Fangio is going to be, now we're going to sit back, we're going to play this, and we're going to force you to try and do some things running the football that you don't want. And it feels like Matt LaFleur is stuck in the, I want to continue to run the football, but the play action pass is the juice. That's the stuff that keeps us satiated. And when we can't do that, we don't get the big plays. And that's why you're seeing the passing offense struggle. Tell me where my premise is off.
No, I mean, listen, I don't think you're off, because, like, I really do believe, like, we look at this offense from when I started it and kind of as this thing has gone on and how it's evolved. The big shots, a lot of them do come off play action, and that's just the way this offense has worked. And it's not the Mike McCarthy offense where, you know, a lot of big shots would come off of just, you know,
99
different
nude
routes and make.
Love the old.
When you're one,
you love 99 nude. Blue, yes. I guarantee you that.
Oh, I loved it. But, like, even with that, that's play action, right? That's a play action play that Mike would call all the time, and Jordy would be wide open running deep down the field. But that's play action. Like, deep shots and big plays come from that. And it's and I said it during, I think I said it to you guys before the Minnesota game. Like, I would like to see more play action early in that first drive. I think they're ranked number one running the football in the first quarter or in the first half, whatever that statistic is that they were talking about. I think Green Bay ranks like number one with attempts or percentage running the football. I'd like to see more play action mixed into that, because the tendency that all these defenses have is that they're definitely running the football. So if you're able to start mixing in heavy play action within that, within this playoff run now, you're going to throw off these defenses' tendencies and what they're looking for. And you can really confuse secondaries and linebackers with what you're going to do. Because if you just continue, I mean, like we said, if Philly's defense is playing extremely well, they are playing really well. They got great defensive tackles. Their defensive ends are you know, flying up the field. They're playing really well, too. Like, their linebackers are playing at a really high level. They don't give up big shots down the field. So you're going to have to find ways to get intermediate routes in the middle of the field and find ways to. That's the only way you can really get after a Fangio defense is in the middle of the field. And how you do that is play action, you know, secure the blocks, you know, blocking unit in the, you know, with play action and secure the front and get guys over the middle of the field, because you're not taking shots over the top. Fangio's not allowing you to take shots over the top. He's umbrelling the, you know, your offense, and that's what he's been doing this year. So, like, you have to find a way to use what you have, and what I think we have is a very skilled wide receiver group that runs good routes in the middle of the field. Yeah, hey, listen, we got a good tight end. He can run the middle of the field well, too. You're going to take some shots over the middle of the field. That's going to happen, right? Like, and this is playoff football. You got to be ready to go over the middle of the field, and you're going to take some punishment, and Jordan Love's going to have to put the ball at risk at times over the middle of the field with his defense. That's just the nature of it, right? But there's a lot of reward with that as well, because as much as they don't want to get beat over the top, there's some soft spot in the defense, and that is in the middle of it. And that's going to have to be where Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur find the weakness of this thing. But in order to find that, you got to block it up. And that's when you got six or seven guys in play action protection to be able to do that.
All right, Brian, before we let you go, because we can't let you go at 10:09, because that would be way too early.
Way too early.
When you look at the season Jordan Love has had, Tausch and I were kind of bandying this back and forth yesterday. I don't think he regressed. I don't think he progressed as much as I expected him to. I do think that, as we talked about before the season began, defensive coordinators had 19 games of film on him and had a better idea of how to defend him and did a better job of defending him. How do you view his regular season, knowing that if he does in a couple of postseason games what he did in last year's postseason, especially with what he did against the Cowboys, that will change how we view his season as a whole? But to this point, how do you view his year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I look at him as that he regressed. I don't look at it that way at all. So I'm with you on that. I don't think he's regressed. You know, you look at the numbers, I guess you could say, yeah, the numbers are lower. I mean, he did miss games. He did play injured. Yep. I don't know how many games he played injured that he couldn't move as well or step into throws. I certainly will give him that. I think the addition of Jacobs and what their identity on offense is now certainly impacts his numbers as well, right? Like, and that's not taking a shot at him. Like, they certainly went into this season with a mentality change of what they wanted to be on offense. And when you are a running team, right, and that's what you're going to be identity-wise, like, that's going to impact the quarterback no matter what. Like, you may be a 4,500-yard passer and you bring in a 1,000-plus-yard back, well, the yards are going somewhere, right? I mean, they're naturally going to – they're getting taken away from the quarterback and the wide receivers. They're going to go to the back. And, like, that's just the way it is. So, like, I don't think he regressed. I think you look at maybe, you know, early on in the season, the interceptions that he threw, I think a lot of that – maybe you look at, but I think he's cleaned that up as this season has gone on and he's gotten a little more into a rhythm and a groove, and he had to kind of get those early season jitters out of him. And we said, and you know, I've said it, I know you guys have said it too, like, there's still learning curves. And we said that coming into this year, like, there's still a learning curve for him in this league. Like, just because he started a year doesn't mean he's like, all right, it's good, this is a finished product now, like, he's done. Like, mm-hmm. This is, like, no, like, there's still a lot for him to learn and grow as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I think his ceiling is very high. I really do. Like, this isn't like, yeah, I understand we went from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love and everyone expects it to be, you know, Aaron Rodgers-esque type football. Like, let's give him some time to grow and become, you know, who he could be, right? Like, it's not going to be instant Aaron Rodgers, you know, where Aaron was for all those years. Like, this is the second year starting. Like, let's give it some time. And this is a young football team. And we saw a lot of, you know, as much as I really like our wide receiver group, we saw a lot of inconsistencies throughout the year with the wide receiver group as well. Like, up and down performances, drops, things of those nature. So, like, we got to look at this thing as a whole. Love obviously had his mistakes. The wide receivers had their mistakes. The O-line had their mistakes in certain games. Like, everyone has their hands in that. And I think Jordan is going to be just fine. I don't think he's regressed. I mean, he goes out and get a playoff win. Do we look at it any different? I don't look at it any different. I think he's played well. Could he have played better? Sure. Sure. Yeah. Of course. I think
is he about where you thought he'd be at this point in his career? Because he finished, I said last year at the end of the year, he was playing top two in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He finished the season so good. And then this year, mm-hmm. it's been nobody's talking about him for an MVP, or even me, who last year was always a top three NFC quarterback. I can't make that claim this year because he's not. Is he about where you hoped he'd be at this point?
He's
not as far as I hoped he'd be.
I'll be honest with you. I thought he'd be further than he is at the end of the season.
So the way he ended last year, right, that what he went on last year, I think surprised everybody. I mean, I don't think anyone could have predicted how well he played down the stretch last year. I think that took everyone by surprise. It took me by mm-hmm. surprise. I certainly didn't expect it.
LaFleur, too.
I also, yeah, I mean, like, there's no way anyone could have called that, right? So if you did, I don't believe you. So, like, I'll just say that. So knowing that and seeing how he played, like, I also, in some part of my brain, maybe I'm a pessimist with it, like, expected some sort of minor correction this year just from a second year, right? Like you said, teams get 19 games on him. They've seen him. They've studied him. They're scheming against him. There's some minor correction that could happen. And I think we've seen it. But now, after this year, he's also now seen what teams are doing against him mentally now. So now you get to see what he does. Whenever this season ends, how he now goes and prepares with an offseason, and how he goes through now an OTAs and an undistracted training camp, and what he does now as a third year starter in this league, and how he goes about his business. So, like, yeah, again, do I wish he was in that discussion, like, as a top three QB in the NFC and all that? Yeah, that'd be great. But, like, I think the trajectory that he's on is just fine. I think he's going to be just fine. I'm not worried about him at all. I think he's going to be just fine. And I think we just got to continue to give him time. Because, like, listen, as much as we love and how great I think he's playing now, like Jared Goff, like, if we would have talked about Jared Goff 4 years ago, would you guys have said, like, I'm done with him? He's nope, moving on from Jared Goff.
Yeah.
The Rams did.
By the way, so did the Rams. They forced, they had to give a first-round pick for Detroit to take him.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, and we're seeing from Jordan Love really good play. And for people to say, like, I'm not sure about him, he's regressing, I still think he's playing pretty damn good. And, like, yeah, and he's still really young in this league. So, like, I understand there's mistakes that happen and we see this and that, but, like, I think he's going to be fine, man. I really do. And I like the way he plays. I think he's only going to get better.
Blue, Brian, we're going to find a way. We're going to find a way on Sunday, in your opinion? Or you think
53%,
it's 53%.
55% chance.
Well, that's better than – so Philly's only got a 45% chance, if my math is correct, right? Is that how that works?
I mean, I guess.
Okay. I'm not a math guy.
I guess.
Brian will be predicting your weather as well and letting you know that there's a 30% chance of snow here in Green Bay and a 0%
chance. We need some snow
down in Florida.
By the way, we need some snow. We need some snow up here. We do.
Brian, it's always a treat, man. I will talk to you later this week on the Homer Hour. We appreciate you. Thanks.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
That is the great Brian Bulaga. Speaking of great, when it comes to representation, if you've been injured, Gruber Law Offices are the GOATs. They're the greatest. And if you need their help, there's only one call to make. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com. Find out more about the firm, the great lawyers that are there, and everything that David and his family do in our communities. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. The 10 o'clock hour starts about when it usually does on Wednesday, in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.